Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
How can I work? How can I get paid? How can I take care of my kids?
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I tell you what, we got guys taking more days off in this town. I don't know what's going on. Dukes is off today. Look, you got to use your vacation time. But Craig, our man who's the board op, and Willie P is in for Carl today. We were just talking, right, as the music comes back, eventually when they get these cameras installed here, Will, because we got over $10,000 worth of gear. We joked around last night. We got like lighting like we're in a Chinese restaurant or the Department of Motor Vehicles. But you know, we're all sitting here, and we're eventually be able to see all this give and take and nonsense that goes on during the commercial breaks.
Which is like, which is very, very bad for everybody involved.
Be behind the curtain. But Craig is flying out to California to drive his mom, or grandmother, I should say, back. And that's really sweet. I took care of my grandmother.
How long is that drive?
Yeah, I mean, so how long are you going to be off? Come on, it's open mic Friday here. Remember, our program director, because he hates everybody here, doesn't let anyone speak. So we now have to, like, come around. They don't have microphones back there. All right, now, Craig, how long are you going to take to get Grandma, Aunt Edna, back here to Atlanta?
No, originally that was the plan, but it was supposed to be fly back, which is 2.5 days, actually, that drive. I've done it about five times now. Right. Texas, you don't realize how big it is. You have to drive
very
through
bad.
It. It's ridiculous. But so what we decided to do this time was just I'm flying there. We're getting pods, loading all her stuff up there. I'm going to get everything out of her house, put everything in there.
Nice.
She came last weekend, so she's already here at my mom's house.
You're doing the housekeeping.
Yeah. Gotcha. So now I just got to get all her stuff ready, and then when she's ready to ship it, she can ship it back that way.
All right. Isn't that a good grandson? That's sweet. Good. That's
and then I'll just
sweet.
Go hang out with all my friends and drink and stuff while I'm out there.
But nice. Yeah,
I was about to say, we're holding the bag for you while you go do all that.
Pretty much. Okay. Teamwork, guys.
Yeah, when my grandmother moved, I had her
secure the bag, CCV.
I had her in assisted living, and I had all this stuff. My grandmother had like a condo full of clothes. And so I told Nana, you know, you're going to have to move to assisted living. We're going to have to, you know, just take maybe your 50 favorite outfits. I only get 50. I go, yeah, Nana, because she was a clothes horse. And so same thing. She had fur coats, all this stuff I had to deal with. It was a nightmare.
My grandma's officially, I didn't even know she could text, but she sent me a list of all the stuff I need to make sure that's in this pod. Because she's like, because the people that are there, I guess my aunties and some of my uncles, the people she don't trust in her house.
Right.
That make sure they don't take this and I want this done. She has one of those cabinets that is like fully wood, solid oak. And I'm like, how am I supposed to move this?
Moving's the worst.
Yes.
Yeah. But you got to watch that because sometimes the relatives, and again, not the ones you love, but the unscrupulous ones who start circling like vultures.
The ones that are at her house right now. Oh, yeah. Exactly. The ones that are there. She's like, make sure your uncle doesn't. I was like, you just calling people out by name, Grandma. That's what we're doing.
Anyway, so there's a little behind the scenes. Craig's got family duties this weekend, but he's a good grandson.
Coming up later on the hour, we're going to talk with our usual Friday spot with Steve Koonin, president of the Hawks. We'll talk a little bit about the game tonight. Also, a little bit about this NBA load management stuff, which you and I have been talking about. We just find it the whole thing crazy. We'll do some soccer. But first, some college football. Let's call those dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
And it is brought to you by our buddies at Cool Ray and Carrier. Turn to the experts and the best warranty in the business. No parts or labor for life once you own your AC unit from Cool Ray.
Tricky spot for the dogs this weekend against Missouri. Team that has come down to Athens and beaten them before. Weird stat for Mizzou, 9 consecutive wins in the month of November. Although, if you look at this year, they have been a Jekyll and Hyde team. Great at home, but not so great on the road, including a loss at Wyoming to open the year.
Yeah, here's a little scary proposition for Georgia because maybe some letdown after the Georgia-Florida game. And remember, South Carolina had a bye week before they came into Sanford Stadium. Well, Missouri had the bye week, although Kelly Bryant, we'll talk about his status in a second. But the Tigers get a bye week to prepare for the Dogs as well. They're 5-2. But we were talking about this because, Will, for those who don't know, Will went to the university, went to Mizzou.
By the way, no love for them from me, though. No love for them from me.
Well, it's like me. I graduated from Virginia Tech, but they disavow me. They don't want me to know me.
I'm like persona non grata. I don't get any calls except when they want money.
Mm-hmm.
I have no love for them. But I do know people there.
But they had a bye week, but they got Bryant banged up. So you mentioned it earlier for dog fans want to know, who's playing quarterback? What's it look like for the Tigers?
So Kelly Bryant injured himself in the game against Kentucky that they played 2 weeks ago, which was a 29-7 loss to the Wildcats a couple of weeks ago. Injured his hamstring. He's had a couple of different things this year as he's basically playing, of course, this year after getting a graduate transfer from Clemson. And I wonder just exactly how that hamstring is going to be. You know these way these hamstrings are. They're nagging injuries. You really just need to rest. And the fact that he's had to try to make it work this week, I don't know of how 100% he is. He said Tuesday that he was about 75%. Barry Odom said on his coach's show yesterday he'll be a game-time decision. The backup is a kid by the name of Taylor Powell, who they really didn't expect to play this year or even next year because they got a guy from TCU who is a transfer in who they project to be the quarterback next year. So it's not a good situation for them at quarterback, but they do have a good running game. They've got a lot of receivers, too.
Right.
And they've got a defense which is saltier than you would expect, although without their top star in Cale Garrett, who was out for the season with an injury suffered earlier in the year.
And that's the thing, guys, and some numbers are kind of bounce off the page at you. Georgia still hasn't allowed a rushing touchdown, and they played some pretty stout teams. Now, Florida not the best at running the ball, but again, Georgia continued to shut down the run game. Nobody scored a running touchdown. Meanwhile, Georgia's passing game matching up to your point against Missouri. According to our buddy Seth Emerson, pass defense, they rank first in the SEC in both yards per attempt allowed, but again, they haven't played anybody. That's the thing. Played Troy. That's the best passing offense they play, which ranks 36th nationally. But Mizzou, their corners don't suck. So again, if it's going to be Cager, or are we going to see somebody else emerge in the wide receiver position? But hopefully Georgia builds on what you saw on the cocktail party and expands it more, getting your players like DeAndre Swift in space, because that seemed to work.
Major threat in the passing game for Missouri is the big tight end, Albert Okwuegbunam. He was the all-conference, first-team, all-SEC tight end to begin the season. He's averaging a touchdown every 3.9 catches in his career after hauling in his 23rd such touchdown against Vanderbilt a couple of games ago. He's second in Missouri's history with 23 receiving touchdowns, so he's not bad.
All right, so Georgia beats Missouri, what, 41-17? 38-20?
I'd say 40. I'd give him three touchdowns. I'd give him 41-21. You
know, and the last time we had conversations like this, it was about South Carolina. And we know how that one went down. I know we should probably dial down the hubris for dog fans. SEC game, survive in advance. But I think most dog fans, you know, we're worried about Kelly Bryant. As you missed it, you laid it out, Willie. We'll see if it's going to be game time for Coach Odom if he's going to go.
We mentioned the Jekyll and Hyde road versus home. Kirby Smart, well aware of how Missouri could possibly get things back to square.
I know the football team they got. I know the coaching staff they got. I know the players they got, and I can watch the tape and know they've got a really physical football team. You know, one of the games was played in some extreme weather conditions, which I know how that impacts the game, and I know that impacts when you're playing against a guy that's probably not a quarterback. He's an athlete. It completely changed the game for how they played. So it's very different.
That is a little bit from Kirby Smart. I'm looking to see, you know, whether that secondary plays as well as it did against Florida last week. And the other part of this, too, is that you really kind of started to see the Jake Fromm that we've all kind of been talking about or hoping that we could see. Again, it wasn't as if they blew the doors off of Florida with their offensive firepower, but we saw some encouraging signs going forward.
So you got Georgia taking on Mizzou, the big game, and we're going to bounce around before we get to Alabama, LSU. I was asked me earlier about Florida State and the coaching job and who's going to get the gig and who would you like. You know, P.J. Fleck in Minnesota, of course, they obviously doubled down on his salary, making it more difficult for a team to buy out his contract. But unfortunately, it's a noon game, and if it wasn't Alabama, LSU, maybe College Game Day would have been there. But what do you think? Penn State against everybody's sort of Cinderella team, the best they've been since World War II, talking about Minnesota.
You know, it's hard to root against them.
Right.
That's the part of it that I don't want to root against them, but Penn State, I love James Franklin. I'm kind of a Johnny-come-lately on James Franklin. I didn't really like the way that he
finishes games, chokes,
left Vanderbilt.
Oh, I'm sorry. All of the above.
But you're not wrong.
I mean, the guy recruits his butt off, but he's yet to show that he doesn't get too tight in those big
moments. He's a little sketchy.
Michigan put some heat on him late, but you know what I'm talking about. Yes. He has had those meltdowns.
He's a little sketchy. But I know he has talent, and I think that talent will win the day. And I also believe that Penn State, for what they've been working towards, is not going to let this particular contest keep them from getting themselves in. What's weather, by the way, for that? Is it going to be a little chilly up in Minnesota?
I would just imagine. I'm looking at it right now.
Radio.
Yeah, mostly clear skies.
Okay. I just want to make sure there might not be any snow or anything like that. You know it's
right
Minnesota.
Now. Oh, so time changed to 7 p.m., by the way. Is that correct?
Yes.
No. Is that right? Have I got it right?
I believe that's correct.
Okay. Anyway, but that's a game where, you know, Penn State, you know that Penn State's probably going to get beat by Ohio State. But the Chase Young thing is a different dynamic. Right. That's why Clemson doesn't have to worry about this. Penn State's going to pick up a loss somewhere. Unless this is a different DNA of the Penn State teams we've seen. Different quarterbacks have turned over the skill positions as well.
They certainly have the strength in numbers there, and we'll see how they play, of course, this weekend in Minnesota. Which, by the way, open-air stadium in Minnesota, worst idea ever. Open idea in Minnesota.
They're hardy up there. Remember, you seen the movie Fargo? They know how to bundle up there, man. You betcha. Hey, man, Georgia Southern, by the way, taking on Troy. Give it some local import. And, by the way, great win for Georgia Southern last week against App State. How close is anybody follow up there? Because work up in Green Vegas. Will does radio in Greenville when he's not here with us.
I actually have a coworker who's an App State fan, and he was crying in his Bud Light the other night when that happened on Halloween night. Mm. Shai Wertz is a guy who actually is from up there, South Carolina native, the quarterback of Georgia Southern. So very, very emotional victory for him and for that team. And they have an interesting contest this week in App State. But they have to go to South Carolina and play a Gamecock team that they aren't necessarily a heavy favorite in that game, which is interesting.
And you got Georgia State, again, here on 92. Monroe.
Georgia Tech plays at Virginia at Scott Stadium. Georgia Tech still looking for its second conference victory. Other games in the ACC, Notre Dame, Duke, Clemson, NC State of ACC import.
And I would imagine that Clemson, after being number five, Dabo throwing number five out there to his guys. At Carter Finley, there's going to be a whooping, I would imagine, coming on a Wolfpack.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a bad Wolfpack team that Florida State was able to beat.
32.5-point favorite, by the way, is Clemson in that contest.
And they're worth every point of it. Now, getting back to Alabama and LSU, we talked to Dave Archer. I think certainly that Alabama's going to come up with some looks to confuse Joe Burrow. He's been money all season long. Tua is not 100%. Some people feel that this could come down to Joe Bolivis, the kicker, which it always seems to, you know, in years past, we've talked about how Alabama's just been blowing doors, but everyone says if this is ever going to be a year Ed Orgeron's going to get it done, it is this weekend.
You were talking about high-priced defensive coordinators and guys like that, like Brent Venables. What about Dave Aranda basically having to hold his nose while they have this Big 12 offense and the fact that they're letting up all these points? Are they not getting enough bang for their buck with Dave Aranda as the defensive coordinator at LSU?
Well, Jarvis, we talked about this last week. They've gotten better. I mean, statistically, they've gotten better. They did not pass the eye test. Everybody looks awful. Some teams look awful in week one. They both look like Big 12 teams when they played in Texas and Austin to start the season. LSU has tightened some things up, but Jerry Jeudy, we talked about it with Calvin Ridley. They've got four big-time wide receivers. They run the ball with Najee. They can do a lot. Alabama's still a 6.5-point favorite in this one. Can't wait to see it. Brad and Gary with the call. It's going to be a blast, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. By the way, it's our dog report with everything else in the mix brought to you by our buddies at Cool Ray. Cool Ray and Carrier turn to the experts. This hour, Dukes and Bell with Willie, brought to you by Kia. Go to KiaDealers.com.
9-9 the game, and Randy McMichael will be at Wing Cafe and Tap House in Marietta this Saturday from 5 until 7. That's tomorrow. Grab a beer, watch all the college football action, and you can register for a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Peach Bowl, courtesy of the fine folks at Dos Equis. Enjoy Dos Equis responsibly. We'll do a little soccer next, a little Five Stripes talk. Of course, all the stuff involving the MLS Cup this weekend and what will be awaiting the United fans when the season ends and what exactly will be going on with their hot stove, if you will. Willie P. in for Carl. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Dukes and Bell, Willie P. in for Carl. You know, last time I was here, Mikey, we had a celebrity in the house other than the two of us.
Yeah, man, it was Edward Norton stopped by. He was promoting Motherless Brooklyn. Now, Craig, we were just talking about the good grandson. Craig went and saw the movie the other night, and I saw it last night up at Phipps. I saw Motherless Brooklyn, and, you know, love the premise. I grew up in New York. It's a lot about Robert Moses, who was a very powerful character who controlled the building and public works in New York State, New York City for years and years. But anyway, it's a little long.
Oh, no. Don't tell me that. And I was looking forward to it.
I'm not going to ruin it for you. There's still some amazing scenes, and Edward Norton does a great job, and it's a great period piece in 57. The young English actress who plays the heroine in this is fantastic, but it needs a little pacing. I think because we met Edward Norton, and it's his project, and sometimes when a guy has, you know, it's his baby, I don't know if anyone's going to tell him how he's going to edit it, because it just seemed like, and Craig, I know we talked about this off the air, Motherless Brooklyn, it's only going to be in a few theaters, so get it while you can.
Right.
But it's a really good movie, but I saw some reviews. I think Peter Travers in Rolling Stone about nailed it. It needs about 20 minutes sawed off it and some of the pacing picked up. But it's not a bad movie, but we had such high hopes for it. Edward Norton is fantastic in it.
It was very, very much anticipated going in. And I know when we saw the ensemble cast, we were all kind of like, oh, man, we wanted to see how it worked. And when we saw the trailer, we were like, oh, God, this is going to be great.
Right.
And you're telling me now it's a drink.
Well, no, it just, it's, I mean, it's still good. No, you know what? It beats a sharp stick in the eyeball.
Okay.
And if you're, again, you know what? Here's where I come off, and Carl and I get in this conversation
I feel bad now.
No, but Carl and I, we are movie snobs. We don't deny it. I don't want to see CGI. I'm sick and tired of Marvel and the DC crap. I want real stories with real people in the real world.
This is that.
And this is that. And if you like stuff like that, then you'll love this. If you don't, if there's not a car crash or a lesbian scene, which you don't get in this, you might not be happy. But this is it's a great piece. It's a great movie, but it does drag. It does need some editing. It's like a Michael Mann movie. You know Michael Mann movies?
Of course.
They always are about a half hour too long. You can always chop it up. Like same thing goes for Martin Scorsese the last couple movies. You can chop out 20 minutes of Sharon Stone. And you can make Casino a little more pop.
Exactly.
I mean, like the Wolf of Wall Street, same thing. Oh, yeah. 20 more minutes. There's a 20 minutes of that. You need to just chop it up,
Big,
get it going.
Big Short was a little long, too, all those type of movies.
Right. By the way, real quick, while we're talking about pet projects, including that movie, obviously I'm a booster for Florida State. You know, have been. Well, not recently with Taggart.
Yeah, I was wondering, when we were talking about Florida State candidates, why you didn't mention the guys in the news today?
Well, I put this out on Twitter, and by the way, I'm at Mike Bell ATL. Follow Carl, put him up, see news. Will, give him your Twitter handle.
At Willie P. Style.
Will Palachuk is in for Carl today. Stop with the Deion Sanders stuff. It was an NFL writer, rumor monger, who started this. And if Deion is really serious, I think Deion likes the idea of it. People will flirt with him over this. He'll get some pubs, 72 hours of Deion and coverage about this. And then this will just dry up, poof, and go away.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure that Deion wants to make that commitment. It's not like Penny Hardaway. You know, you get some good assistants. You got to get 12 guys. You got to find a dozen or more, 15 assistant coaches. You got to build a staff. There's so many moving parts. But I do, and you and I are intrigued because you're up there at Clemson. Will works in Greenville, South Carolina when he's not on here. Dabo
has the same formula.
He's taken the Bobby Bowden CEO model with greatest. Now, if Deion actually had the commitment, had great assistants, then he'd be the greatest recruiter in Florida. Imagine you got primetime sitting down in your living room to get your kid. Holy
well,
cow.
Here's another guy who we haven't mentioned that has kind of taken the same approach in his move back to college football, and that's Herm Edwards. Right. Herm Edwards has kind of done the same deal.
But he's been a coach. He'd been a head coach.
But he doesn't have the relationships that other guys would have in the business. So he basically came in, brought the football mind, brought the football intrigue, and has the name cachet, and he has basically that CEO role. He lets everybody else kind of do their thing.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, it sounds great. To me, it sounds fun to talk about for a few minutes, but anybody who gives serious credence to Deion Sanders coaching Florida State, you're out of your mind.
Is it bad that I want it? Just for you.
I mean, I got to be honest. Like, for instance, just for argument's sake, if you would keep Jim Levitt, you know, he'd be the bad cop. The guy that could great defensive coach. He's built defenses everywhere he's been. You keep Art Briles' kid as your offensive coordinator, Kendall Briles, and Deion goes out there and closes guys. Mm-hmm. That's great. But I think Deion likes the idea of this, but the actual execution of this is a whole different idea.
The other part of this, too, there's something that you brought up, and it kind of runs in concert with what we were talking about with Chase Young. Why is it that these schools are not allowed to use their alums as recruiters?
And that goes back to the silliness of the NCAA. What better recruiting tool if you're Florida than having Tim Tebow go make a few stops on the recruiting trail?
Exactly.
You know, or you just mentioned
Peyton Manning, Tennessee.
For instance, I'll give you a quick story. Years ago, and Jarvis, if you remember the recruit's name, I forget the kid's name. He's a defensive tackle or defensive end. He's a minister. He was an ordained minister in South Georgia. David Pollack flew down in a private plane on his own expense to go down there for this kid's signing day, and that was one of those like secondary violations against Georgia. The stupidest stuff. The kid, religious kid, Pollack was his idol growing up, and he goes down there and it becomes one of these like stupid ticky-tack NCAA violations that Dave was there in the high school when the kid signs on the line. Who's the kid, Jarvis? Ray Drew. That's the one. So it's just, there's so many rules. They realize, and you said this earlier, that the big schools, the Power Five schools, you can say, you know what, NCAA, you get your piece of the action on March Madness, you want to run the College World Series, but we're going to create our own sanctioning body for football, and you can go pound sand, which is what they were going to be doing. And when the legislatures in California and Florida start coming up with these acts where let's get these kids compensated, that's why the NCAA had to change their tune.
One thing that you and I were talking about earlier, and this is kind of a little off track, but I did want to bring it in because you and I both love the Five Stripes, is This Darlington-Nagbe trade, I'm not really down with it. And I'm not down with the fact that he's the kind of guy who, if you think about what he means to Atlanta United, he fills about two to three different roles. And if you're going to replace him, it's not just, you know, just as easy as, oh, well, let's just open up another designated player spot and go get another guy. There really isn't another guy who does what he does in Atlanta United system. Maybe this is Frank DeBoer kind of flexing his muscle and trying to make sure that he has the kind of roster that he needs to be a part of more of his system, kind of tinkering now in year two when he's at the helm. But I don't know if I'm down with this.
Well, if you guys remember how the season started this year, we were out in California. We had some of those scrimmages. We played some college teams. We played some of the teams out west. Darlington-Nagbe wasn't there for the start of the season. And then there were some stories that he was homesick or he wanted to be on Columbus. So I don't know if there was a gentleman's agreement that, okay, look, you give us this year and we'll get you over to Columbus. And I believe there's reports that his family's already packed up. Can't confirm that. And United can't talk about this because the silly season doesn't start till the game wraps up with the Sounders and Toronto. But to your point, there's nobody on this roster that can do what Darlington-Nagbe does.
Right.
You know, and as far as the pivot, to turn on a dime, to split defenses, to, you know, to be the glue guy, to get the ball from the center backs all the way up to Joseph, I don't think we have a guy that can do that.
No.
And there's rumors out there that we're going to get a crazy ton of allocation money from Columbus to send Darlington there.
And does that mean we just give that big deal to Gressel? I mean, I don't know.
And that's the other thing, because Gressel's still got one more year on his deal. But when you look at the disparity, and Gressel's making, I mean, he's making like $130,000. I'm putting his business out there.
Right.
And he's the guy that stirs the drink. He needs more.
He needs more.
But he creates so much for this team. I mean, you think about him on the wing, he's got to be there. So Gressel's a guy I don't want to lose. But let me throw some names at you real quick. Would you move on from Leandro Gonzalez-Perez? Would you be willing to move on from LGP?
Oof.
High risk, high reward.
Well, it depends on what you get back. Is it more money or is it actually a player?
Well, you have to protect 12 players for the expansion draft. And once one player is taken, they can only take one.
Right.
So I'm curious, would we maybe not protect Tito Villalba?
Your boy.
Because I love Tito. He's a super sub, but he doesn't fit what Frank does with
him.
Frank's got him in semi-defensive role. He needs to be up front.
I say he needs to do more like what PT Martinez does. Like those guys kind of fit the same type of style. And I feel like he has Petey and Tito on the field at the same time. And it's like you can't have two guys on the field at the same time. We do the same thing like that.
I hate to lose, you know, LGP. I mean, he's great and he drives you crazy. Playoff run, it sucked not having Miles Robinson.
Can we stop the ball, please? Can we stop the ball, please, on the game-winning goal? Can we stop the ball, please?
Well, the problem was everybody just staring, thinking the ref was going to blow the whistle on that foul to Nagbe. That kills us. Michael, and by the way, Michael Parkers did tell us on the show the other day there was definite tension with some of the players in that locker room and Frank, and they finally found sort of an equilibrium. Great question by Carl, and Parky did say, it was getting weird. But the good news is everybody got on board.
We'll talk about the Hawks who play tonight against the Sacramento Kings. Again, our pregame at 7, tip time at 7:30. Our weekly chat with the president of the Hawks, Steve Koonin, is next. Dukes and Bell, Willie P. And for Carl, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
92.9 The Game. Time to check in with the CEO of our Atlanta Hawks. This is Catching Up with Koonin on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Chance for the Hawks to get themselves back on track tonight against the Sacramento Kings. Again, our pregame 7 o'clock and tip time at 7:30 as we have our usual chat with the CEO.
Yeah, man, it's Steve Koonin. Everybody loves Puffy K, CEO of your Atlanta Hawks, brought to you by Kumho Tires. And Steve, it is a story that everybody, unfortunately, has been talking about. It was cute a few years ago when Popovich pulled it off. I know you addressed this with your TV experience on TNT, but man, when you've got big-name guys and they're not showing up to play and you've plunked down the hard money, we're talking about this load management, and what can the league do about it?
Well, the league put policies in place. In fact, the Clippers were fined $50,000 because Kawhi was on the injury report, and then the head coach said he's fine.
Hmm.
So it's not a great look, and it's certainly something that I think the schedule over time will help that. You know, it's funny because I'm an older fella, so I grew up during the 80s when they played every game, you know. And if you said I needed to sit and rest, I'm not sure you'd stay on a team.
Right.
Well, that just did. I mean, it's just, as I said, we, and this isn't a thing about the Hawks, because I've said it before, you know, when, especially when it's a West Coast team, and if you're on the East Coast, you're one chance to see somebody with Golden State, or the time I want to see Anthony Davis play with the Pelicans. And it's a shame, because I understand the road, I mean, the road trips, the grind, and the only way you'd ever less, you know, take less games and shorten the season, you're going to have to double your ticket prices.
Well, but let's be precise here. I don't think anybody was buying tickets for Kawhi Leonard until last, you know, till maybe the playoffs. So let's be candid here.
Okay.
And, you know, we have not experienced that here. We have always had Steph play and LeBron play and the stars come out to play when they've played in Atlanta against the Hawks. So I do think locally we can tamp it down a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's a trend that we need to keep an eye on, because we plan to have lots of superstars here in the future.
And one more on this, Steve, before we move on. You know, what steps has the league taken? I know that we're seeing less back-to-backs. I know it's inevitable with the way that the schedule goes. You don't want the schedule being 8 months long. But what more can the league do to make sure that this is something that becomes prohibitive to do if you're an NBA franchise?
Well, I think what's happening is you're seeing – far less back-to-backs, even in the since the 5 years that I've started. I also think you will see, and I apologize, I can't really get into it, but I do think you'll see schedule modifications moving forward.
Okay.
And, I think you have to.
Right.
My first year, when I was all excited to be here, I would travel with the team, and we'd get back to Atlanta 3:30 in the morning, and I'd have an 8:30 meeting, and I'd be miserable. You know, and I can't imagine somebody who's actually in shape, you know, doing it day after day. But it's very difficult travel. Like the Bulls flew in here the other night, and they were landed at 2:00 in the morning. By the time they get in their hotel room, it's 3:00.
Right. But again, granted, it is a Four Seasons. It is our man Steve Koonin with us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. All right, big guy. We love John Collins. We had him on the show just about 10 days ago. Blindsided? Do we know that? As much you can tell us, did you know the suspension was coming?
No. We literally had less than an hour's notice. Mm-hmm. And remember, all of this is set up to protect the player, meaning, you know, the team doesn't know when the test is, the team doesn't know what the results are, and the team finds out in very short order that there was a problem. And I think it's fairly obvious the learning lesson is, you know, you have to lean on the team to help you make choices of what goes into your body, period.
And I know that he said, he mentioned about, you know, some appeal to try and arbitrate it. What is that process like? Are we in that process? How does that work?
Well, he and the players' union would go to the league and to the people who hear those kind of appeals, but I don't think that it's not like a court date where you have to be in traffic court at 1:30.
Right, right.
You know, so his agent and the Players Association rightfully are the ones who handle that with the league.
Now,
we just want to support John and let John know that we understand that he made a mistake, and we don't want to vilify John. We want to hug John, and I think that's, you know, from everybody in the organization top down. He made a mistake, and it's a good learning lesson, and we're going to, you know, unfortunately, all have to deal with him being gone, but, you know, I think we've got a strong roster. Jabari Parker, I think, we'll fill the load and give us the chance to play other players and continuing what our plan was for this year, which is development. And, you know, I think if I would have said we'll be 3-4 after the first 7 games, I'm not sure there's a listener out there that would argue with me.
No, I'm with you. And the thing is, you know, to have Trae Young, the scary moment with that ankle injury, and then he's able to come back and, you know, that we talk about load management. There's a legitimate injury concern. He's able to get back and just go off and help you beat the Spurs. You know, and signs like Cam Reddish hitting his threes. We see DeAndre just look solid every night. You already mentioned Jabari Parker. So we're not going to talk about the Bulls game. We'll use that as an outlier. But the Spurs game was a fantastic vibe.
Well, there's going to be games like that. A, we're a young team. B, I think there was so much emotion Monday when all of this happened. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the enthusiasm and the energy of Trae coming back, and then Trae going 0-for-8, but not hanging his head and having 8 assists in the first half, which is really a testament to his ability to involve his teammates. And then he went It was as entertaining a second half of it as I think I've seen in many, many years on any scale for NBA basketball.
And, you know, we mentioned this a little bit, you know, when you think about who that number two guy is, Jabari Parker has kind of been that guy. But this is also kind of a time where Coach Pierce can kind of get in the lab and see exactly what he has with both Cam and DeAndre, because this is a situation where you see these guys get up close and personal time. Not many rookies get this type of opportunity this early in their career.
Exactly, and that's the whole plan. You know, I've cautioned, I don't want us to get ahead of ourselves. You can't skip the steps and whatever cliche there is. But, Kevin Huerter and Cam Reddish basically hadn't played competitive basketball since March and April.
Right.
So it's going to take a few games to get into the flow. Trey, who's been playing and didn't have the injuries, you can see the way he's played. Jabari. And DeAndre Hunter has just been a joy to watch. And the things that he does, not all of them show up in the box score, you know, where we've learned to look at dunks, assists, three-pointers, points. You know, defense matters, and his plus-minus. And if you notice this year, guys, I don't think we've had a team score more than 105 against us.
Talking, of course, with Hawks CEO Steve Koonin on the WadeFord.com hotline. Hawks and Kings tonight, final game of this long homestand before a very long road trip that comes your way beginning in Portland. They'll be out west for a while. And Steve, I know with these five games, Coach Pierce talked about it earlier in the week. He said, you know, this is how you learn. This is welcome to the NBA type moments. How do you expect the team to come together over this run? Because it seems like this is probably the first real big test for a group with a lot of youth and a lot of seasoning needed.
Yeah, I mean, we're playing 4 out of 5 nights against playoff teams, and when you look at how Phoenix is doing this year, that's a bit of a shock also. Mm. And so this is going to be a good learning test. I think 18 of our first 20 games are against playoff teams, which we have a very difficult start, and I think if we can continue to grow, develop, learn, and play well together, that – you know, the exciting back half of the season is lined up. So hopefully we come back injury-free, guys getting some more playing time, and the clock ticks down to when John's back.
Right on, big guy. And again, more importantly, win that over-under for me. All right, man. It's always about me and my bets. Steve.
You know, I'm not going to lie to you. When I heard this thing, the first thing I said to myself is, damn, I'm going to have to hear about Mike Belt's over-under.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to redo the kitchen, Steve, okay? The Falcons have already let me down on their portion of this. So.
Well, let me tell you, if you're gambling your wife's home decorating money, you're in big trouble.
You're obviously not familiar with how the Irish get things done. But anyway, all right, brother, have a great weekend. And I got my tickets for a few of the games coming up next month. I already mentioned real quick, Steve, because I always forget the name of it. The Concert Club, those seats are fantastic that are above like the 200 level. Or what is that called again?
That is the new Concert Club, just opened this year, and I appreciate your ringing endorsement. By the way, come on down tonight. The Kings are a lot of fun to watch. De'Aaron Fox might be the quickest player in the NBA, so he against Trey tonight should be really special.
All right, big guy, since we get off and get changed, can't go down there dressed like this. All right, brother, we
all
love
right.
you. Have a great weekend.
Take care, everybody, sitting in traffic, because the traffic is insane. Come
yeah.
on down.
That's yeah. our man, Puffy K, President Trump. We believe he's back to the airport, right? That should be over with. They will say that.
Wasn't VP involved, though, too?
Oh, yeah, Pence, too. Yeah, oh, boy. Trouble.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they staggered him. Okay.
Marta is your friend, by the way, in this instance.
Yeah, it can be. It is a Will P hit for Carl today. Hey, you know what? We saw a picture on Twitter. Dear Orlando Ledbetter was stuck about 10 cars deep in a Popeye's drive thru.
Oh, no.
So I talked to Jarvis, who's producing today for Squid. I said, hey, man, let's get D-Led on that tip for the Falcon Report. Once he gets done with his sandwich, of course.
Of course.
So we'll talk to D-Led. We're also going to talk more about the big story, which involves college football. And then a little bit later in the show, your first chance to enjoy Guy Talk Day 2.
It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dukes and Bell, Willie P. in for Carl.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.